WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
I think it's fair to say that our smoothly running facility has suddenly developed a few problems. I can only hope we are able to all pull together over the next few days until the rescue team arrives for Lieutenant Ripley.
It's here. He got coming.
Stop this raving at once.
I'm telling you. It's here.
Yes, it's here. Alien 3. Guest critic John Powers has this review.
Have you ever stayed in a lousy relationship because you kept hoping things would return to the way they used to be? That's how it feels watching Alien 3. If the original Alien played on your nerves like water torture, and its sequel Aliens took you on a roller coaster ride, this third installment of the series is like slogging through a swamp. Sigourney Weaver is back as Ripley, the gritty warrant officer who attracts bloodthirsty aliens the way a carrot does rabbits. Ripley's spaceship crashes on an isolated prison planet whose all-male inmates practice a whacked-out brand of fundamentalism. This is not a happy planet. And within minutes, the authorities have chopped off all of Ripley's hair. Although she looks gorgeous in this new do, sort of like an escapee from the Beverly Hills gulag, it does nothing for her credibility. Even when inmates start getting slaughtered, the warden refuses to believe her story about the alien.
It's an 8-foot creature of some kind with acid for blood, and it arrived on your spaceship. It kills on sight and is generally unpleasant. And of course, you expect me to accept all this on your word.
No, I don't expect anything.
Tell me, Lieutenant, what would you suggest we do?
Well, what kind of weapons have you got?
This is a prison. It's not a good idea to allow prisoners access to firearms.
Keeps them from killing you.
Fear? There's no way to escape. With the arrival of the next supply ship, the company would eliminate.
This is a maximum security prison, and you have no weapons of any kind?
It's at this very moment that the movie goes permanently wrong. In its opening scenes, Alien 3 seems to be grappling with weighty issues of redemption, apocalypse, the links between good and evil. It's like an episode of Star Trek directed by Oliver Stone. But someone, perhaps the executives at 20th Century Fox, clearly got nervous that such metaphysically moody chat would bore the audience. And so the last hour drops any pretense to big themes and becomes simply a movie about weapons. Skulls get crunched, bodies get shredded by enormous fan blades. The walls are spattered with so much flesh and blood, they look like a Jackson Pollock retrospective. Now, there's nothing wrong with horror films being filled with violence. It's the essence of such movies to plunge us into death and destruction. It's part of their cathartic value, part of their kick. Yet good horror movies have rich psychic meanings beneath the surface of the action. In the original Alien, the murderous creature growing inside actor John Hurt's body wasn't simply a mutating monster, it was a visceral metaphor for both cancer and the unconscious. And similarly, in Aliens, the proliferation of goopy monsters who killed people one by one had a special resonance in a society just taking the full measure of the AIDS plague. Although the alien in this new picture does bear an unnerving resemblance to Marilyn Quayle, this is probably not intended as political allegory. In fact, despite all the opening hour's highfalutin religious flummery, there's nothing going on beneath the surface of Alien 3. Nothing, that is, but Hollywood's usual desire to cash in on a popular series. At one point, the beleaguered Ripley suggests that the real villain isn't the spiky-toothed alien, but the big corporation back home that's willing to let her and the others die in outer space. I kept wondering if she was referring to 20th Century Fox.
John Powers reviews film for LA Weekly and New York Magazine.